change that old world. There's no help. Don't know what to do. Alvin's going to leave it up to you. And that's where it stands in your lap. Here we go. After a week's sojourn last Sunday, we're back live and in livid person here on the Labor Day weekend, 4th of September, I believe, is our date. Roger Sales is your host on the Radio Ranch RBN Sunday Night Edition. Glad to have you along wherever and whoever you are. As always, I want to take calls from you folks. I'm going to give out the number here in a second if you don't know it by heart already. But I wanted to cover a little information first, so if you don't mind sitting in line for a minute and want to go ahead and call, please feel free. Area code's 512, of course, 512, and then the prefix is 248-248, suffix 8252. 512-248-8252, that's out of the way. I'd like to have some social intercourse with you if you want to call in, questions, comments, any of that stuff's open, fair game. But I want to kind of start out on something that it gets in my craw because, and I know I'm not saying these people are bad intention. They may be, but I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of people that are trying to free people that are out there with really bad information, okay? It leads people to get themselves in trouble because they don't know the system that they're fighting or the system of law that we're being controlled by, okay? And I can understand how that happened. Our enemies are extremely clever, and they've really, really set this up in a devilish, diabolical way. Diablo being the Spanish word for the devil, diabolical, same thing. And the latest example I have been exposed to twice now is by somebody, unfortunately, that I really like and respect and I've followed for a lot of years, and that's Cliff High. Cliff High's a great guy. I caught him the first time he was on Jeff Rentz 24, 25 years ago. I've been following him ever since. Cliff is great. He's super intelligent. He's got a real handle around programming and computers and all that stuff. But when he comes in here talking about stuff in our arena, he's getting bad information and he's putting out bad information. And it pains me greatly. Okay. Now, he just put out a video this weekend on the law. I know where he's from, a couple of comments he's made in the previous videos Cliff has done. I know he's getting his information from a judge, Anna Von Reitz's bunch, okay? And he's putting out bad information because they're giving out bad information. Sorry. Maybe not intentionally, I'm not saying that. And I understand that this thing is extremely complex. I've been fooling with it for 30 years, okay? And I know the basics. These other people don't. All right. And to hear that 25-minute video that Cliff has done and put out yesterday with all the absolutely incorrect, terrible information that he's got in there. And he does say it's his opinion. Okay. I'll give him that. But he's putting it forward as gospel, and he's got a lot of credibility with a lot of people. And when he says things, he's like E.F. Hutton. When Cliff High says things, people listen. Okay, because of his track record and who he is. And he's getting fed bad information. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen this video yet. If you're my students, I hope you saw it and picked it apart. Okay, because he starts out, he goes through a whole 25-minute video about how the bankers have enslaved us and never once mentions the 13th and the 14th Amendment. Never once. He says the bankruptcy was in 1938. It was in 1933, plain and simple. Okay. He says things like we brought equity law into the country in 1871 with the incorporation of the United States. But if you go back to the Constitution, he says equity covers contracts. Common law doesn't cover contracts. That's what he said in this video. Well, in the Constitution, which was written one hell of a long time before the Civil War, there's a clause in there that says you can't impair the ability to contract. How does Cliff think they dealt with contracts from the Constitution up to the Civil War? You think they just didn't deal with them? It says the IRS was created in the 30s. The IRS was created in 1951 with a treasury order internally, and it changed the Bureau of Revenue. Revenuers, the old whiskey and guys, and they put them over in the BATF, the whiskey and gun guys, and they set up the IRS separately with an internal treasury order in 1951. So it's my pet peeve, and I'll tell you why. Because I get students that have been exposed and gobbled up all this crap, and I've got to sit there before I can teach them right, and I got to unlearn all the garbage that they've been taught from our patriot legal community. Okay? And here's where Mark Twain comes in. Mark Twain had it right on the nose. It ain't what I know that's killing me. It's what I know that ain't so. That's what's going on in our community. And I couldn't let, especially after I had to hear that this morning on the earlier show I'm on Sundays, and the co-host there, Thumper, and he said, well, because he's a big Cliff High fan too, and it ran until the end of the program. He said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, it's more painful to watch the second time than the first time. Okay, because I picked up, he's sitting there saying, well, I'm free. I'm a legal resident of Washington. So, excuse me? You know, it reminds me of the old fire sign theater thing from back in the 60s. How can you be two places at once and nowhere at all? Okay. So I'm sorry for that. And I use the platforms I'm on to try and teach the correct stuff. But an unbelievable amount of my time is spent having to go and get this garbage out of you people's heads. It's frustrating. One of the biggest frustrations I've faced the whole time I'm doing this. Oh, we're under admiralty law. Admiralty law is contract. There ain't no contracts in admiralty law. It's martial law of the sea. It's I kick your ass and I take your stuff. The only remedy is prize. Where's the contract? There ain't one. Okay? So it's just all this misinformation, disinformation that's kept us so off stride from accomplishing hardly any progress in this community for as long as I've been in it. And that's a long time, half of my adult lifetime. Okay? And it's just frustrating to see it still proliferated by people who go around and call themselves a damn judge that say there's no procedure. There's no procedure. It's this new book of war. That's the procedure. What do you think the federal rules for criminal and civil procedure are? Just pieces of paper? So it's as you can see, it gets my ire up, okay? I'm not Irish, but boy, it gets the Irish up in me. So anyway, I just wanted to, if you watch that, everybody's got some pieces of the puzzle. But we're the only ones that I've ever seen that have the whole piece, the whole picture, put it together with accurate information. Now, I can understand why these people don't know a lot of the law, okay? Because they're not teaching it in law schools anymore, and they haven't been, for the best that I can tell, for between 90 and 100 years, all right? And I can prove that because I've got a book, The Collective Speeches of Lewis T. McFadden, one of the greatest statesmen that we've ever had in the House of Representatives in the history of this country, William T. McFadden. He was a former banker. He knew what these guys were doing, and he wasn't as scared to get up on the floor of the House and put it in the congressional record, because that's where these 31 speeches came from, between 1931 and 1933. In one of those speeches, he talks about a little Jew, a little slimy little Jew bastard like all these are, named Jerome Frank, who was the head legal guy at the Department of Agriculture, who got up in front of the annual convention of American colleges and law schools in December of 1933 to give a speech titled Experimental Jurisprudence and the New Deal. Now, that's where they have to tell you what they're doing to you. Well, this is that occasion in this instance. And the American Association of Colleges and Law Schools moved their annual convention to Chicago on New Year's Eve of 33 so the little slimy Jew, Jerome Frank, could give that speech. And you can go look it up. It's on the internet. Experimental Jurisprudence and the New Deal. If the American Association of Colleges and Law Schools wasn't under their control, if they wouldn't have moved their convention to Chicago on New Year's Eve. And if they're in charge to that extent, you know they're in charge of the curriculums. They haven't been teaching things like person and all these other key concepts in our law schools for almost 100 years. So I don't necessarily expect them to know. And the only reason I know is because I had John W. Benson as a law teacher. And John W. Benson loved law and studied it his whole life, but he didn't study it in law schools. He studied it from the old books. And that's why we're on target. And those other peoples are off target. So I'm trying to give you folks that want to learn, want to accomplish something, want to affect change. I'm trying to give you some stability here and some lessons. Learn the basics. Learn the foundations. Learn the accurate information. That's where your freedom is. It's not chasing gurus that don't know what the hell they're talking about. We got another guy out there. He gives you a 31-page affidavit book to file. And all through it is the term sovereign citizen, which the FBI has a squad out for anybody that says they're a sovereign citizen. But it's in his affidavit. Capiche? There's five times in Matthew 24, five times in Matthew 24, Jesus says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Don't follow false prophets. Don't gobble bad crap information and swear it's the gospel. Because that's what, for the most part, has been floating around in our Patriot legal community the entire 30 years I've been in it. And I've seen them all, okay? Your right way laws, your Rommel school of laws. I've seen them all. Be careful on who you're listening to here. These are critical times. You do not want to do something and move forward when you're on a foundation of sand. And that's the foundation these other people are building. And I've never seen one of their information that was correct. Never one. Now, they got some of it correct. Everybody's got some of it correct. But on the key things, these other people don't know what they're talking about. They're teaching bad information. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry to have to say it. But it's evidence, clear and simple, in that Cliff High video that was released yesterday, something about the law. Okay, and go watch it. See if you can find the holes in it. Okay, because there's a bunch of them. So I wanted to get that off my chest here as we get started this morning. Yes, Sam, nobody's decided they wanted to call in. I hope I didn't scare them off. I don't mean to. It was just my pet peeve because I deal with it so often. I got to unlearn with these people and go back and take valuable time when we could be teaching them something constructive and real to go back and get all this crap out of their minds. It ain't what I know that's killing me. It's what I know that ain't so. And that's where we are. Okay, unfortunately. So listen, let me give out the phone number again. I don't know. I'm not going to bite you if you want to call in. It irritates me because I've had to deal with it for so many years, and it's so darn frustrating. Okay. And I see the reason. People are looking desperately for the nexus to this thing. And they see two things that look like they connect. All of a sudden, in their minds, they connect. They start telling other people. And everybody believes what they said or what somebody told them. And it's virtually impossible to get this stuff out of people's minds. Okay, to unlearn it, if you want to put it that way. So anyway, that's the opening of the show tonight. Let me give out the number again. Maybe some of y'all didn't get a chance to write it down because I really do want to talk to you. I don't want to sit here and blow off steam all 2 hours. 512 is the area code, 248-8252. I'll give it one more time, 512-248-8252. If you don't want to call in, maybe Sam and I will have a conversation. I'll drag Sam into it, you know. So anyway, that was on my mind. We've got a couple of other pretty interesting things that have happened in the last few days, though, and what we do. Like, I know a lot of you, I want to make sure they got me as a national. I want to make sure. I keep telling you, especially if you, either way you send it in, really, but especially with a passport application, they got all the instructions that they got to follow, that they give you to follow right there on the instructions. They tell you the warning boxes in there. And our people go, oh, I didn't have 5 stars. Oh, I didn't have 09. Oh, I didn't have that. It's not what's on the document. It's what's in the possession of the Secretary of State. That's what matters. That's where the rubber meets the road. So one of our students, Dave from Orlando, is another one of these people. There's somebody calling. Dave from Orlando is calling in on the show this week, and he's another one of these. Oh, I want to make sure I'm a national. So he calls the passport division, and he gets a nice guy calling him back, a helpful guy. And he goes, I would just want to make sure I'm classified as a national. The guy comes back and says, yes, you are. And then he tells him this. He said, you know, we've got so many of these things coming in that they had to set up a special class for the employees on processing them. They had to set up a special class for the employees in the passport processing division to passport to process the amount of these applications with affidavits coming in. Does that tell you anything? Sam, who we got on the line there? All right. Lynn in California. Hi.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I got some of my vitriol off my chest a little bit here.
All right, good. Yeah, actually, I heard you like 10 years ago on the radio with this guy, Alfred Adask.
Oh, yeah, Al.
Yeah, I think it was on a Melody Cederstrom program.
Yeah, she sponsored his show, but yes, that's correct.
Yeah, anyways, I went to the library, and I saw one of your forms for filling out the affidavit.
And you saw it at the library?
Yeah, I went on the computer there.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Over at our website, thematrixdocs.com. Is that what you're talking
actually,
about?
Yeah, it was filling out the affidavit without passport application.
Yes.
Okay, and that's your site, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know anybody else's site that's got that info on there, so I think so. Yeah, Lynn.
Okay, well, I guess my question is, I want to fill this thing out, and I want to make sure I'm going to do it right. And it says, it reads, I say John Doe, being duly sworn hereby, declare my intentions to be a national but not a citizen of the United States.
That's the Fed's language. I juice it up a little bit, but you can get by with that right there.
Okay. And I guess under that, I would put, I declare, certify, verify, or state under penalty of perjury, under the laws of the United States of America, that the foregoing is true and correct, and put the date on that?
You could do that and then go get it notarized somewhere, correct? Okay. You're in California. You got some special notary rules out there that are, like a lot of things in California, weird and totally different from the rest of the country. You got to do a two-page notary, or have the notary on back or something screwy, so just know there's something different you do out there.
Okay, and the cover letter, is that just basically addressing the subject and what you're informing them of?
Yes, and on the cover letter to the Secretary of State with an affidavit sent without a passport application, I would just keep it real simple. And honestly, I don't put forms for the cover letter out because I want you guys to do some work. I don't charge you anything for this. I expect you to do something. And part of your charge is for you all to study and learn the information and to know how to put something simple like a simple cover letter on this, because it's real easy. Okay, to the Secretary of State, dear Lincoln, Blinken, and Nod, please find the enclosed citizenship evidence. I think it's important to use that term, because that's the term they use internally for your affidavit at the State Department. Okay, please find the enclosed citizenship evidence. Please place this firmly and permanently in my administrative file. Thank you, Lynn from California. Doesn't have to be wordy. Doesn't have to be anything. They know. Believe me, they know what it is. All you are doing is presenting it to them and asking them to put it nicely. You know, like Mama said, honey draws more flies than vinegar. Asking them nicely to place it in your administrative file.
Okay. And would you recommend doing this with a passport card?
I would. I'd send it in cold first. And, you know, the things that I suggest to you folks, I just don't pull them out of my sphincter muscle, okay? There's a reason and a method to everything we do, all right? And we suggest now that you file it naked or without a passport application to the Secretary of State first. Wait a few days, 20 days, something like that. There's no set time limit. It gives them a little while to process it and get it in your administrative folder, and then you send in for the passport application, and you only have to order a card. It's only $30. And now you've got the affidavit linked to a government-issued ID. That's the highest form of government-issued ID, by the way. Although lately, they're changing the rules again. And I had a caller, a student, who went in to buy a firearm, and they wouldn't accept his passport card because the new requirement is you got to have an ID with your address on it. I guess that's so BATF can come in and kick your door down and get your weapon, okay? But there, this guy didn't have one. He had to go over and get a fishing license with his address on it to then use the fishing license to go purchase a firearm. So that's new.
Do you recommend, like, any time you put your signature down, you use that without prejudice, the UCC stamp?
No, well, you're not having to reserve your rights. You're claiming your rights with this document.
Okay, so that's a no-go then. Okay.
See, if you're a serf, you're trying to reserve your rights. But here, you're claiming your rights. They can't say anything about it. You have to double claim them.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. And as far as people taking Social Security, is that going to be canceled with this? Or
Nope. They can't do that. And when I opened my Social Security account 13 years ago in Argentina, I gave them my affidavit with the application to open the account. I've been getting checks every month. Also, Social Security is this more patriot disinformation here. Social Security is not the nexus. Anybody in the world can apply to Social Security. If you go to the Social Security form, I think it's an SS-5, and they say, are you a citizen of the United States or a national? And under the national, there's a pull-down menu, and it says, which country?
Okay. All right. I guess that has me started anyways on all this. I really wanted to do it. I've been listening to you for a couple months on the radio. I just kind of discovered you on a program that I get on my satellite. I've
really?
Been listening to you, yeah.
Well,
and we kind of missed you last week.
Yeah, well, I missed you guys, too. What program did you discover me on your satellite, Lynn?
Well, it's on RBN. I think it's satellite that I got from, I guess, somebody by the name of Taylor Seldom.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. I was just asking for the program. If you heard me on RBN, it's probably one of the other interviews I did. But you all go all the way back to Al Addisk, who's a fine guy, okay?
Yeah.
And I wish he'd come back into the movement. He is still alive, and I've been in contact email-wise with the guy who lives with him. So I know he's alive, and he's a good guy, and he gave me some real key pieces of the puzzle in those programs we did together. And one of them was pointing out the presumption of law, because I had never figured that into this, and now I understand the whole thing hangs on it. Now, everything they do is under the presumption of law, everything.
Yeah, he seems brilliant or whatever in what he's just people. And also, there's this book out, The American Sovereign.
Who?
It actually explains this 13th and 14th Amendment pretty good for me.
Okay, I'm really not familiar with them. I don't go out and search out other people's stuff. I got my plate full with ours, you know. But I hear it because I get so many students that have been exposed to it that I got to go in there and correct them, you know. But I don't have time to chase people's stuff.
Yeah.
Especially people that I know are putting out bad information anyway. I'm not going to go waste my time to figure out what they're putting out that's good.
Right.
Their credibility's ruined with me from the start. Sorry.
Okay. Hey, thanks for all the information, and I'll keep on listening and learning.
Okay, Lynn. Glad to have you. I got 4 years of archives up and a whole bunch of other stuff you can access, so feel free to yank our chain anytime, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. Who's next, Sam? Back in 1 second. That's a funny name. Jay in L.A. It's California night at the Radio Ranch RBN. Hey, Jay.
How you doing? I spoke with you a couple weeks ago, and you gave me a lot of great info. Appreciate that. But you had also mentioned your friend, I think it's Brent Allen. He's a lawyer.
Winters. Brent Allen Winters.
Which is, and so I kept reaching out to him.
Well, I think, didn't they replay the show with him last week? I thought maybe somebody told me that was the show that they replayed when we weren't on the air. Brent and I have become good friends. We've never met, okay? We've been doing shows for over 9 years together every week, now more than once a week. And Brent's a national treasure, okay? He's not recognized as such, but I'm going to tell you, he's a national treasure. And he's got unbelievable amounts of reservoir information. And he's an extremely good attorney, and he's an extremely good individual. And he's somebody I really admire.
Well, to that end, I was trying to contact him because I have some specifics about, you know, companies setting up and the impact of changing my status and all this. I wanted to hire him, but I can't reach him. I've tried emailing him.
Have you used the website to email him?
The one where you hit contact and you email through the actual website? Yeah, I did try that.
Brent's real busy. Okay, he's traveling a lot. He's got a lot of clients, and I'm sure it's not that he didn't see it. It's just you hadn't reached the top of a priority list yet. Okay,
gotcha.
I can probably answer some of those questions for you. I'm not saying don't talk to him, and if you want me to, I'll send him a note. Tell him to look for Jay. When did you send him an email?
It was probably about a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
All right. Well, let me see if I can deal with your questions, and I can probably, you know, hopefully I can see. He doesn't even need to be involved, but if you just want to talk to an attorney, I can understand that. Talking about doing
basically
a business.
I had talked to you about setting up an LLC, which is I finished putting that through, and I just want to make sure. Like, my brother actually just passed away last week, and there's been a lot
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a crazy time. A lot of things are shifting. I'm about to get some of his, life insurance money and all these things. And I just want to make sure they're not going to come after me.
Have you already put your affidavit in?
I have not. That's the problem.
Okay, well, the problem is that now you're going to be subject to all the withholding and the inheritance taxes they're going to take from you. If you'd had your affidavit in, I think you could have gotten around that.
Well,
so that's point
one. It hasn't gone through yet. None of that stuff's gone. We're still dealing with it, so I haven't signed anything. I think I can still get the affidavit in.
Okay, I'd certainly, I don't ever tell anybody to do this, Jay, okay? This is your decision, all right? But in light of what you've told me, I'd highly suggest you think about it real seriously. You know, one of the things in the Communist Manifesto is about inheritance. They don't want you getting any.
There's also a house. There's a house on the, that's involved. I wanted to know if I flip over to this other status, I still get all that stuff, and they can't take any of it.
They can take part of it. They can't take all of it. They can take part of it unless you owe them something. They might take all of it. But generally, my understanding is they can take part of it on inheritance taxes. But if you're a national, you're not obligated to that. We're talking about a lot of legal stuff, so I'm gonna tell you that I want you to talk to Brent, but I'm going to go over it, at least from my standpoint here with you. Okay,
sure.
And I'm going to ask you to write another email to Brent, and I'm going to drop him a note and tell him to look for Jay, okay? Put Jay from California in your subject matter, in your subject line, and I'll tell him to look for that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, what else? I don't know about an LLC. I do know that you could do it in the form of a trust would be good. That's Brent's specialty, by the way, or a regular subchapter S. A regular subchapter S is what they call a pass-through corporation, and you can do business in that, pass all the profits back to you. You, as a tax, an exempt individual, owe no taxes on it, and the corporation won't owe taxes on it because it doesn't hold any of it.
Wow. This is what I want to know about.
I'm not sure. An LLC may do the same thing. I don't know. Back when I was messing with a lot of this stuff, there was only 21 states that had passed LLC laws, and so therefore, when we were doing what we were doing, trying to help people get offshore, we used general partnerships because of the Well, the sparsity of LLC stuff, and both of them do the same. I don't know the particulars on it, but I do know a subchapter S is specifically called a pass-through corporation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what you're saying is it is possible to run companies and to basically exist with these entities untouched by
yep.
the government. And
yep.
And okay. That's what I'm trying to do.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
It's mind-blowing. That's why I've been sort of keeping my finger on the trigger, but haven't pulled it because it's almost like too good to be true. But
well, it's true. I'd tell you this, Jay, as I've told people, I've been doing this for almost 12 years, helping people understand this, and I've grown in my understanding and ability to explain it. And I don't have any idea how many people have filed this paperwork. People just don't tell me. You know, they do it. But I do know this. If any of them had any problem in their lives because they'd filed this paperwork, I think that they'd find a way to get a hold of me and start, Roger, what do I do?
Right.
I've never had one of those calls in 12 years.
Do they ever come and try to rattle the tree a little bit and shake you up?
Yeah, well, they do. They use a tactics. The only defense they've got left is a bluff letters. The IRS uses them, and the State Department uses them from passport applications. They can't use them on a naked submission because it's not their choice. It's yours, and they know it. They can come in and try and fool with you on this passport thing, and they send these things. I call them bluff letters. We haven't had a lot of them, but we've had some all over the last, 9 years or so. And it's the only defense they've got left, see? And they the letters, they must have a cut-and-paste program because the letters are all kind of different, but the first paragraph's always the same. And it says, it appears by what you've submitted that you're a citizen of the United States, and then they quote the 14th Amendment, and then they go blah, 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 except by operation of law. That's the ending of the paragraph. Well, that's what we're talking about is operation of law, not legal crap, okay? And so all you do is go back and rebut with that statement. This is law. How about Vattel's Law of Nations? There's a number of ways you can approach it. But we've never had anybody that didn't respond to the bluff letters that didn't get their documents. Never. Not one person.
Awesome. So you were suggesting earlier, I follow the protocol you outline in your book and then wait 20 days, then do a passport application?
Yeah, you want to know why? I can go into the details if you want to know, okay?
Sure.
But we changed that fairly recently. We've got other folks holding, but, you know, we'll just mark time, folks. I had a guy call me about a year or so ago, write me an email from California, out there where you are, San Jose County. Up there in San Francisco area, and he goes, he's a Brit, naturalized Brit, got here in 2000, naturalized 2007, whenever, had an existing passport, and he stumbled on our stuff, and he sends an affidavit in with the passport application for a card. Well, they reject it. They not only reject his passport application, but they also revoke his current passport that's open. Okay? And so now I'm totally confused. Obviously, anytime something like this comes up, I want to know about it, you know. And so I said, send me the letter they sent you, which he did. And they used as their reasons for rejecting his passport that he had two outstanding warrants. And they used two sections of 27 CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulations. Ironically enough, about BATF is 27, okay. And so what he had not told me before was that he got pulled over for drunk driving. He wouldn't get out of the car. The cops ended up breaking his window and pulling him out of the car and taking him to jail. He did some magic stuff and got out of jail, and because he's a Brit, he thought that the getting out of jail signified the dropping of the charges, which they didn't. And when they ran his name on the NCIC, they picked up those two charges, and that's why they rejected everything. So it made me start thinking about this, okay? And I thought, well, if you send in a naked affidavit first, they can't object to that, and it gets in your administrative file, and that takes you out of the administrative state, so they can't charge you with two regulations from 27 CFR.
I see.
Okay. And if they did, and they kept his application money too, by the way, and if they did, at least now you got a solid foundation to start an administrative appeal on. If you don't have that in there, you don't, because they didn't file your affidavit because they rejected your passport application. It didn't get filed.
That makes sense.
Okay. So that, as I tell you folks, this is a process, not an event. I'm still processing this and learning after 30 years. I know damn well you got a lot of years ahead of you, okay? But there's not one thing that I suggest or tell people that there's not a reason or a method behind.
What is the reason for the passport? Because you don't use the license anymore and this becomes your ID?
Well, because now you've got a government-issued ID, the highest form of passport that's linked to your affidavit. That's why.
And what other ways does your life change when you take on this new...
You know, I'm glad you asked that question, Jay. Okay? Because life doesn't change. You've got to change. That's why I hammer people to learn the information. Because that's the only change that's going to happen is the change in you.
But it's not like you can't get, you know... in places or certain IDs, you're rejected for this or that, the other.
When both the statuses are equal, how can they do that without being overtly discriminatory?
I see. So basically the main thing that happens is they can't take almost half your money every year.
The main thing that happens is you remove yourself from the administrative state's jurisdiction. That's the main thing. That's not just IRS. That's 499 plus other agencies, including your state agencies, by the way. And you got some real bad ones out there where you live.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I just wasn't sure if, like, you know, you try to go to the hospital or you need emergency and they're like, nope, your status is...
Can't do that. Won't do it. Anybody that go to the hospital these days, unless it's trauma, is kind of foolish to me. Unless you might as well bypass the hospital, go straight to the damn morgue.
My brother, the malpractice and idiocy is why my brother's gone. They treated him bad. They didn't treat him right. So you're 100% right.
Yep. That's. We're going to have a health show on this segment here in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be revolving around helping people stay out of the established medical system, because these days either the doctors are lying to you or the hospitals are killing you, for the most part. I know that.
I'm 100% sure that these people intention was to not keep my brother alive. I'm 100% sure of it.
I lost a dear person to me on our radio show. Some many of you are familiar with him because he used to call into all these shows. Chris from Las Vegas. Chris Cave was his name, okay? And he was my right arm. And he died because his Jew girlfriend went and got that shot and infected and shed on him, and he died in the hospital. Not her. He died.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
You got to stay healthy.
Yep, well, that's all this stuff, and, you know, is all this stuff works together. Health is part of your freedom legs. There's five legs of freedom: spiritual, political, geographical, financial, and health. And without health, you don't have any of the other ones, okay? So it's important.
Thank you. It's been a really rough couple weeks, but I'm going to set up all this stuff and do it in my brother's honor, and I really appreciate your help. I'm going to email...
Brent, I'll do that. I'll follow up. Jay from California in the subject line. I'll follow up, and you got my deepest sympathies for your loss, okay?
Thank you very much, Roger. I appreciate everything.
Okay. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
And to have to deal with stories like this just pisses me off. Sam, who's next? It's California night at the Radio Ranch. Welcome aboard, Lisa.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Can you get me off the speakerphone? It's real distracting.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Much better.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Okay. So I went to a conference this weekend, and I learned a lot, and... It was it was really amazing. So what I'm learning about are the layers of laws that they have entrapped us with. So have you heard about Form 56 from the IRS?
No, I don't know what that is. I try not to keep up with their forms. Bunch of damn thugs.
Right. But that Form 56 is what lets you out of the contract that you signed and you didn't know that you had signed for fiduciary commitment of filing the taxes. So even if you file as a national, as exempt, that does not rescind the contract that you had with them. The national status of you not being...
Yes, it does. It changes your status.
Really? Okay.
Lynn, have you studied my stuff very much?
Me?
You say you're new to this. Have you studied my material very much?
I spoke with you personally. Yeah, I called you and spoke with you personally, and I filed this like in April of this year, and then I got kind of crazy. I had some other things going on in my life. I had to pull away for a while. But yeah, I've tried to research and read and listen to all the stuff that you've put out there.
Okay. But, all right. That in contracts, that any contract that's based on fraud is void ab initio. Have you ever heard that? Did they bring that up in your weekend seminar?
Well, I mean, they talked about it, that the fraudulent contract that you signed.
You were fraudulently put into this condition at birth. It wasn't anything you did with the IRS. You were put into this. It's called birthright citizenship. You were identified with a political status determined on where you were born and not who your parents were. That's what obligates you to all this. No additional contracts with the IRS obligates you to anything except that 1040 form, which is an annual contract, by the way, and the reason they want you to sign it. All right. So you're in the feudal system in a condition of voluntary servitude. Anything that was done in that time period under that legal personality, if you want to call it specifically, was done with fraud at the base, and all that is void. That's why they've got to recognize the affidavit. It's all based on layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of fraud.
Right. Okay. So like the thing, like what they're going after people's children. The CPS is pulling kids out of houses. And, I mean, they're
That's right. So you get the parents to file affidavits, and you get them as mother and father to file an affidavit for their minor children, and that'll stop CPS from doing that crap. Because then they'll have to bring this out in the public forum, and they'll never do that.
Interesting. Okay. Also, like homes and titles, you know, the title to your property and the loyal title and the MCO from the, you know, manufacturer. And, I mean, they're saying the manufacturer doesn't have your MCO. They sent
it
at purchase. Right. At purchase, it was sent to the DMV of wherever the car was registered.
And then they issue you a certificate of title, not the title.
Yes. Right. And then when you're paying, you're literally paying the state to control your car and to own your car and to get the MCO. They said that dealerships, because of the manufacturing contracts, the manufacturer has the dealer's contract that they will not release the MCO to the purchase. If I brought in $35,000 and said, here you go, gave them gold, coin, silver, whatever you want, you know, cash. And I said, I want to buy this car. I want you to hand me the MCO. The dealership will not give you the MCO because
unless you're taking it out of state in some state or out of the country. Out of the country, you can get the manufacturer's statement of origin. That, for the people that don't know what you're talking about, MSO is called the manufacturer's statement of origin. And I know that because I bought back in the 80s a BMW out of Germany that a friend of mine helped me get over to the States. And when I picked it up in Jacksonville, I got the manufacturer's statement of origin. I didn't know all this stuff back then, but I got it.
Right. They were saying that's the only way. So you could tell them, well, I'm shipping this to Hawaii, or I'm shipping this, and or not Hawaii, but, you know, I'm going to ship it to Mexico or whatever, and they will give it to you, but you have to sign this thing saying that when you purchase it. That's the only way.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know the exact procedure, and it may just be with isolated states, but I know one of them is with Idaho, because people buy cars in Idaho and say, I live in Washington, I'm going to register it over there, and they give them a manufacturer statement of origin. Now, it's your job to take that and give it to the State Department of Motor Vehicles and exchange that for their certificate of title and a tag that represents that that's your property. The reason it's not your property is because your property and property can't own property. You can only control it. That's why you only get a certificate of title.
Right. So these are the some of the things that they were explaining, and that's why I'm just like, there just, it seems to be so many layers that we have to address.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And that's what I'm learning, and I'm like, oh my God, we literally have to learn like the letter of the law, how to communicate, how to say, I'm sorry, you know, if a cop pulls you over or they ask you for identification or all these ways of, like, you know, you were saying, you know, that he couldn't buy a gun without a residency on his driver's license or some type of thing. It's just, there's law after law after law. You have to learn how to work the system or get out of the system. And that's what this whole thing was about, was like, look, this is the system. This is the color of law. You know, this is air, land, and water. This is maritime. This is admiralty.
No. It's not land, air, and water. Please, I know whose seminar you went to. Please get that crap out of your mind. That's not correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Law originated in Rome 2,000 years ago with a guy named Gaius, G-A-I-U-S. He wrote a group of books called Gaius's Institutes. That's the foundation of the law, not land, air, and water. Totally ridiculous.
Well, when they talk about admiralty law versus maritime law versus common law, and there being an administrator for, and he's not even truly a judge, he's just an administrator. And those are the ones that you don't want to be in front of. You want to go to, can't remember the name, but the judge for the common law. And those were some of the things that they were talking about. Tell me what you think.
I just went over it on the first part of the show. I was venting at wanting this Cliff Hive video. Admiralty law, maritime law, okay, and merchant law. He says they're all contract, okay? Well, maritime law probably is. You're shipping stuff on the sea. Admiralty law has no contracts. Admiralty law is martial law on the sea, and its equivalent is martial law on the land. These armies, when they go to fight, you think they're working under contract?
I don't know.
Okay. Come on. General, I contract that I won't attack your left flank. Okay. All right, I'll honor that. I'll put everybody on the right. I mean, how ridiculous. Okay?
Right.
There's three components of law: rights, duties, and the one that nobody mentions, and I guarantee it wasn't mentioned in your whole weekend seminar, is remedies. Okay? Our guys are real good about rights. They very seldom mention duties, and they almost never mention remedies. Okay? What's the remedy in admiralty, Lynn? They cover that this weekend? Prize. It's called prize. That means I kick your ass and I take your stuff and it's my prize. There's no procedure, no nothing. This is not admiralty law. This is not maritime law. The only action in maritime law is called a bill of libel. You see any bills of libel floating around our court system? No. It's merchant law. The Bible tells us it's the merchants of the earth. What law do you think the merchants of the earth use? The merchant law. The Babylonian merchant code for thousands of years called the law merchant, now referred to as the uniform commercial code. All three of those things are the same thing. These are people, I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're damn sure giving out bad information.
Okay. I'm listening.
Well, I'm telling you.
I'm just researching all this stuff, and I'm like, there's a reason I'm talking to you, because a friend of mine that actually first told me about you, he's like, you know, join the call, and I said, okay, you know, so here I am, and I'm like, okay, so I'll talk to you about it, because
Okay. Well, listen, Lynn, what you need to do if you can, I'm on the hour on the show, on the radio, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week over on our platform where we don't have a bunch of callers waiting and stuff, and we can explore this and you can hear from other people who have been through this and have their own conclusions and stuff. So I'd invite you with your detailed questions to come join us over there, okay? We're on eurofolkradio.com. Eurofolkradio.com is our regular stream. And if you want to find out how to participate, your friend can probably tell you, but for those of you who don't know this, go to thematrixdocs.com, that's D-O-C-S, thematrixdocs.com, and there's information on the radio show there, how to listen, participate, etc., okay? Because we'd love to answer your questions. Every person I can pull out of that cesspool information, I feel like I've accomplished something, so I'm going to invite you over there, okay?
All right, I'll go.
All right, good. We'll set you straight. Now, listen, Lynn, the only reason I know all this stuff is because a guy named John W. Benson was my law teacher, and he studied law his entire life, and he didn't study it in law school where they don't teach these things anymore. He studied it on his own from the old books, and that's why I've had the successes I've had and the understandings and accuracy that I have, because he was my law teacher. That's why I know.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And I want you to understand, the things you hear from me are the result of over 100 years research in three men's lives. This isn't chopped chicken liver here, okay?
Okay.
So, I got a bunch of callers on there, and I don't want to ignore anybody. So, please call us on the regular show. We'll be glad to address it and see if we can get you on the straight and narrow path, okay? Because it is narrow. It is very narrow.
Yeah. I've filed my affidavit with the State Department, and I did the passport, and I was going to redo it because I was going to add some of the stuff that they said to add in. So I'm going to wait and talk to you.
Why do you need to add anything? Why do you need to add anything from your choice to change statuses? You don't need to add anything. All you need to do is tell them I want to change. You don't.
Yeah.
This is your choice, not theirs. If they object to it, they're open tyrants, and they know it. We don't know it, but they do. You see, this is our self-confidence. This is the conditioning that have put us all in a corner our whole lives, in this conditioning that they've got all this power. They don't have any power you didn't give them by answering those two questions, yes. You gave them all this power. We, all of us, collectively, not knowing ignorance. Me too. Okay? We gave them the power. They don't have any. They got a bunch of money. They got a bunch of influence. But they ain't got no power until we give it to them, and that's what we did. Take it away.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let me get on to the next. I got a bunch of people stacked up here, Lynn. So I appreciate your call, okay?
Thank you, Roger.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. Sam, who's the next caller from California? A Microsoft program screwing up? Please. Ron in Georgia, the great state of Georgia. Hey, Ron. Is this my buddy Ron Hoffman?
Yeah, this is, Roger. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ron. I'm venting a little bit today.
Yeah, and I can so appreciate everything Lynn was saying just the last few minutes, because I've been immersed in that stuff for the last year, so I'm having to unlearn stuff just like everybody else, it seems. I have two quick affidavit questions and then a little more detailed accounting question for you. The affidavit, would you put at the top of the affidavit, to United States Department of State Attention Administrative Records Department, would you put that on the affidavit?
No, I wouldn't. You might put affidavit of citizenship evidence at the top of it.
Okay, but leave address and all that off.
Put that on your cover
letter.
Put that cover letter on the envelope. There's no reason it's on the affidavit.
Okay.
And you're going to send a copy of that. You're going to take copies of that and put other people on notice. So have an affidavit of citizenship evidence at the top. They can't say they don't know what it is.
No, that's correct. That's true. And they, when they file it, like, you'll never see that one again, so you want to get two of them and then make a copy of it so that you have an original and then you have copies that you can then send out to everybody else.
Yeah, you know, copies are admissible in court. I've never had any objection as to originals or copies, and, I've never seen a differentiation, honestly.
Okay. The other question I want to ask, we were talking about this the other day, is, you know, I own a business, and I think if I keep my business, I'm probably going to have to file taxes every year, and then it would just pass into my myself, and I won't pay taxes on it, but I'll probably still have to file if I keep the corporation.
But what type of corporation are you doing business in?
It's called, well, the name of the company has an LLC, organized
okay.
as an S-Corp.
Okay, well, if it's an S-Corp, you're cool. Just pass everything through. Don't even pay expenses out of the corporation. Pass everything through to you, and you're tax-exempt. So the corporation owes nothing. It can file if they require it. I don't know if they require a corporation to file that has no profits or not. They probably do because they gave it life. You had to go to the Secretary of State to get that life on that entity. And but that's
right.
A good way to do it. You could convert it to a trust if you wanted to. That's good, too.
And I am going to have a conversation, probably a meeting this week with my accountant. He's a conservative guy. I think he's going to think I'm crazy at first, and the more he thinks about it, he's going to really like it. And then the problem he's going to have, at least according to what I heard you say about a year ago, is that he is vaccinated. And I haven't heard you say anything more about that in the last few weeks since I've been listening live, but you were talking a lot about that a year ago on some of the recordings. Is that pretty much a no-go for people that have gotten the shots?
A no-go in what respect? I don't know exactly.
They can't become nationals?
Well, this isn't funny. We talked about this earlier today. These guys, from what I've learned about them, anytime they do something real major like 9/11 or Waco or whatever, they always try and accomplish multiple objectives. They never do just one thing to get one thing, okay? And in this jab, this bioweapon, one of the things that they're doing is they're changing your physiology with mRNA. It changes your DNA. I heard they can take CRISPR. Okay, Ron, we're going to get interrupted here with a break. We're going to hold it on CRISPR and the jab, and we'll pick it up on the other side, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.